said just a moment. I got that, didn't you? Good. Even though he says I'm his supervisor, I'm learning from him. Haven't you learned a lot from him, Marty? I wish I might have sort of a rebuttal here for Steve. I've got to see this famous game you were talking about in Nashville, Steve, when you played there in the bowl game. We were very proud of that game and of you and your testimony for the cause of Christ and for all Christians who are willing to stand for Christ, whether it's on the football field, in the classroom, wherever it is. Marvelous Christian coaches have meant a great deal to me in my life. When I first got out of service, I thought I wanted to go to college and I wanted to play basketball. I didn't think I could play football possibly in the college. I was skinnier then than I am now. But I walked into the gym. I set my suitcase down. My dad took me to school and I set my suitcase in the room and he left. And I said, well, I'll go look at the gym. And if I don't like the place, I'll beat him home. And I walked around and looked in the gym. I heard a noise in the basement. I walked down the basement and there was a football coach standing there and the team getting ready to go out and practice before the season started. He didn't ask me if I'd ever played, if I wanted to play, if I could play. He said, what size shoes do you wear? And so I practiced before I ever even unpacked my suitcase. And this marvelous Christian coach had a great influence on my life. If I were to mention the name of my college to you, it would, some of you are well grounded enough in sports, you would remember an incident. Cumberland University. Thank you. Cumberland University is a very famous school. Back in 1917, they had a... They had a team. I didn't play on that one, but they had a team that beat three Southeastern Conference teams in 1 week. They got drafted during the First World War, and they had a very fine team. And in order to not forfeit the game to Georgia Tech, they would have had to pay $500. So the team was drafted, and all of them left. So one of the fraternities that were there at that time, it was a Presbyterian college. It wasn't Baptist at that time. It was when I was there. But this fraternity, a group of law students in a fraternity, got all boozed up and went down to Georgia Tech to take care of that game instead of paying the $500. And they said that day, of course, nobody had ever played any football. And the largest gain they made that day was a five-yard loss. They said that they took time about carrying the ball. They'd make a tackle, carry it for a while, and a guard, they wouldn't anyone carry it twice in a row. One big fellow got back there and started through the line, and he dropped it, and he hollered to a fellow, said, pick it up. And he said, pick it up yourself. You dropped it. And so the score in that game that day, does anybody know what the score was? 222 to nothing. That's right. So nobody's going to break the record of my college, not even Steve. Not even Steve Sloan. And I'm sure you don't want to. I want to say simply this. We're grateful to each of you for the tremendous contribution you have made at the assembly this summer. All of you know, of course, that the two assemblies, Glorietta and Ridgecrest, are sponsored by the Baptist Sunday School Board. It's owned and operated by the Sunday School Board of the Southern Baptist Convention. And it is a marvelous piece of work that's done at the assemblies, and it could not be done without you and your dedication to the cause of Christ as you've labored here this summer, many of you other summers, and others will come after you. But we pray that somehow this might be an experience for you that will make a lasting impression, and you've helped to drive some stakes deep for yourself during this year that will be lasting, and that you'll be grateful that you had this opportunity and this experience. And certainly, we would like to have more time to discuss with you our appreciation for you. And yet I hope you'll feel and know always, as you move on out into various phases of life, that we are grateful to you. And as you look back on this experience, remember to pray for those who will have this same wonderful opportunity in years to come. Thank you so much. And we wish for you every success in life as you go back into school or into various phases of life from now on. And we certainly would ask that you remember in prayer, certainly the tremendous influence of the assembly that it has on the lives of those who come, not only the staffers, but those who come each week. And you have been a great part in that. It could not have been done without you. Thank you.
In 1952, or was it 53? At that time, the chaplain Carpenter was chief of chaplains in the Air Force and was here for a Home Mission Week conference. And he cornered me in Old Pritchell Hall, and we sat down on one of these wonderful benches that the boys have up at their dorm right now. And he said, "I've had a dream for a long time, and perhaps you can help us to bring it to pass." And these conferences are what the outcome. So we had the first conference in 1953, and now they have eight conferences over the United States and two foreign countries, all stemming from that one conference they held in 1953. And Chaplain Carpenter said, as he went overseas and ran into a group here or there, it was one of the greatest thrills of his life to have one of the airmen come up to me and said, "Remember Ridgecrest?" And it has. We'll never know the extent of good that has come out of those conferences. We know of a young man, I can't tell you his name, but he wrote to one of our staff girls they corresponded to, and she wrote and said that he decided that he should go into the ministry because of the experience at Ridgecrest. We'll never know just how far and how wonderful those experiences have been for all of these men. So we can look forward to a wonderful time. And they're going to be studying the book of Ephesians. That'll be their Bible study period. And they'll have other things that'll be of great interest. And those of us who can, we want to get into some of these conferences and participate in them. I hope that you've been writing that letter to yourself. We've gotten a number of them in our office already for those that have had to leave. But you go ahead, if you have not already written it, write it now. Pick up from right now and go on with it through the remaining part of the days that you're here. You'll not regret it. It'll mean very much to you. Today we received a letter from one of our former staffers, and we wanted to read it to you. First of all, I want to read a letter from one of our guests that was given to me this noon. And she said, "Don't read it now, read it later." So just about an hour ago, I opened the letter, and this is what it says. "Dear Mr. Weeks and the staff at Ridgecrest, I am thanking God now and shall continue to do so for you. My week at Ridgecrest has been one of the most informative and inspirational I have ever spent. I am so glad that Southern Baptists see fit to maintain such a place for their people. I am already making plans to come again next year and to share with others what I have found here. I especially appreciate the quietness and peace of heart I found when spending some time in the prayer garden. Surely God is in this place. Mrs. W. Boyd Beaver." Then this other letter came from one of our former staffers. Some of you may have known him, Yancey Dillinger. Now Yancey is in the Marines. And this was written on, well, I hadn't noticed that, 12th of August, on my birthday, thank you. I hadn't noticed that date until right now. "Dear Mom and Dad, it has been quite a while since I have written to this address, so just in case you don't remember, I'm Yancey. The address may throw you since most of it is abbreviated. I'm presently serving with the 1st Marine Division in Chule, Vietnam. I've been overseas for 12 months now, and I feel fortunate that I have only 28 long days, and those are underlined, left on my tour. It is truly a rough experience to be away from home and from your wife for 13 long months. I think of Ridgecrest and the 3 summers I was privileged to be on the staff often. Of course, the summer of 63 holds a special memory, for that was when I met my wife, Becky. I'm writing to tell you of a very unique experience I had last night. I was one of a group of 30 Marines who attended a Vietnamese revival. We obtained special permission in order to go into the town, I won't pronounce, one of the nearby villages after dark. Usually Marines are not allowed in the villages at night due to the security problem. The revival services were being conducted by three missionaries who worked for the Christian Military Alliance. Two of the missionaries were very fluent in their Vietnamese language and were able to interpret parts of the service that were led by a Vietnamese Christian minister, as well as to preach the Vietnamese themselves. I found out later that one missionary, a Mr. Tom Stibbins from Wei, was born here in Vietnam, went to the States for his education, returned to Vietnam as a missionary. The service had a large attendance of Vietnamese, with the large majority being children and young people. The Vietnamese children loved Marines, and several grabbed my hand for me to sit with them. One thing that was easy to see was that the children who were sitting with the Marines were the most attentive throughout the service. Of course, the purpose for us being there was to show these Vietnamese people that we care about the things other than war and fighting. The people seemed to appreciate our presence very much. The service began with a prayer followed by a solo rendered by a Marine pilot. The people seemed to sense the beauty of the words, even though they could not understand. The next part of the service immediately turned my thoughts to Ridgecrest. A Navy chaplain read the Bible in English, and the words were interpreted for the Vietnamese by Mr. Stebbins. The passage which were read are found in 1 Corinthians 13. I'm sure the staffers would like to hear this read in Vietnamese. The Christians in South Vietnam are few in number, but they all are dedicated. Maybe one of these days someone in an important place will realize that the answer to this country's problems is Christ and not military power and foreign aid. The tide is slowly turning in the favor of the men who want to be free. I just heard from Becky that Buddy Brock, he's another one of our staff boys, left the States last Sunday for Vietnam. I understand that he'll be in Saigon in the office of the Chief of Staff. I don't envy him by any means. I have my orders from Marine Air Control Squadron 9, Marine Corps Air Station, Beaufort, South Carolina. I couldn't be happier with my orders. I'm sure that Becky would want me to say hello for her. I hope that this has been a rewarding summer in many, many ways, and I'm sure it has been. I know that the staffers are not looking forward to the day when they must return home. I must go now. I don't have much spare time. In his love, Yancey. Leave because of school, because of sickness, because of other reasons that seem to be very imperative. So let's keep up our good spirit and keep smiling, keep up that good word of greeting to the guests. So now let us listen, and I'll read for you. Though I speak in the tongues of men and of angels and have no love, I am become a clanging brass or a clashing cymbal. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge and have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I sell all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it avails me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love envies not. Love makes no parade, is not puffed up, is not rude, nor selfish, nor easily provoked. Love bears no malice, never rejoices over wrongdoing, but rejoices when the truth rejoices. It knows how to be silent. It is trustful, hopeful, patient, enduring. Love never fails, but though there are prophecies, they will fail. Though there are tongues, they will cease. Though there is knowledge, it will be superseded. For our knowing is imperfect and our prophesying is imperfect. But when the perfect is come, then the imperfect will be done away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child, felt like a child, thought like a child. Now I am become a man, I have done with childish ways. For now we see in a mirror and are baffled, but then face to face. Now I know in fragments, but then shall I understand even as I also have been understood. Faith, hope, love endure. These three, but the greatest of these is love. Our Father in heaven, we're grateful for the joys and blessings that we've had here at Ridgecrest. We thank thee for the opportunity of having a good time as Christians as we have here tonight. We're grateful for the testimony of others who are following thee as a personal Savior. We thank thee for their influence as they live for thee day by day. We'd ask that thou would help each of us as we live our life each day, that others may read through our lives that Christ dwelleth within us. Dear Father, we'd ask that thou would be with those of our staff who've had to leave and are on home now, some may be even traveling at this time. We'd ask that thou would watch over and care for each of them. And dear Father, their homes from which our staff have come, where there has been sickness, where there is sorrow, where there is anticipation and concern because of operations that need to be done. And we know that thou art the great physician, and through thee that thou wilt guide and direct the hands of the doctors and the surgeons. And we'd ask in every case, according to thy will, that thy will might be done. Then, dear Father, as we look toward these days ahead, there are few in number, and there is much for us to do. Give us the strength, and give us the wisdom, and give us the understanding to do it the very best we know how. And as our guests come, some traveling even now toward this place, may their journey be safe. And as they participate in the program that is provided for them during these days, we'd ask that they might be inspired and lifted to the point that they will go back home and do even a better work than they are now doing. We're thinking now of a special group that will be coming this week. They do not have voice to speak, but they are able to communicate with their hands. And dear Father, we'd ask that thou would bless them in a very special way, because we know of the blessings that have been ours and the staff through the years past because of some students that we had that were deaf. Their lives have meant a great deal and have ministered in such a way that many others are teaching in this particular field, and how grateful we are for them. And now, dear Father, as we turn toward our rooms for rest tonight, we'd ask that thou'd give us the rest that we need, that we might do our very, very best tomorrow. And all of this we'd ask in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I was thinking thee from the Thank you. Breakfast is at 7:30 in the morning. Good night.